Gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, December 21st, 2015. That's right. This is Christmas week. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios located in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania, where we're heard live weeknights, Monday through Friday, 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. That's the place to be, folks. We're simulcast on Blog Talk Radio. You can watch us live. That's right, watch us live on our official YouTube channel. Links to each audio and video venue can be found on our home base on the internet at HagmanandHagman.com. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm, with fellow investigator, researcher, most importantly my son Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report, what I like to call America's premier father-son investigative reporting team. You know what, folks? We do dig deep into topics that are not covered by the mainstream media, and if they are, they're buried. And, it's just not, it's just information you're not going to get elsewhere. At least that's what we believe. I want to thank each and every one of our listeners, Karen in Rome. God bless you. I got your email. Karen, that's Rome, Italy, not Rome, New York, but I want to thank you so much for your kind email, and all the others from Saskatchewan to Newfoundland to Newfoundland to Australia, New Zealand, elsewhere, all across Europe. We want to thank, again, our listeners, those new to the program, for tuning in and being part of what I'd like to call our extended family, because really you are our extended family. Thanks for checking in with us by email. Email starts rolling in. Well, it never stops. So just want to say thank you again. Couple of things before I turn it over to Joe. This week, we've got a very good week planned for you. Tomorrow, Standale, third hour, but the first 2 hours, we're going to be getting into some current, really important news events. And Wednesday, we're going to be interviewing Steve Quayle, and stressing interviewing, I'm going to be asking him questions about his new book, Empire Beneath the Ice, How the Nazis Won World War II. I've done a lot of research about the Nazis, World War II, Hitler's escape, the connection to Islam, the recreation of the caliphate, and he takes it a step further, and he goes into the, Byrd had discovered. And really, really gets into deep stuff with respect to the occult aspects of the Nazis and how it affects us today, how we're seeing it playing out today. Also, this week, in thanks, because of our extended family now, we decided to go old school. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to return to our roots. We've done a Christmas show every Christmas since we began. We're going to shed all of the lights, the cameras, and we're going to just go to BTR and do a Christmas show. Regular time. For those people who are alone, lonely, have no one, or just want to talk, or maybe just want to be informed. We're going to keep you company on Christmas night. Okay? It's on BTR only. Only because we want to get back to the roots where we were before. Two more announcements, and then I'm going to turn it over to Joe. The first announcement is this. Spoke with American Survival Wholesale this past weekend. Folks, any order from American Survival Wholesale.com. Any order from American Survival Wholesale.com. Write a note when you order. Say, just put conference in the note section. they will send you a coupon code for an additional $50 off the admission price. You see, the admission price went up again because to $149 because that's what the conference rate charges. Well, American Survival Wholesale, through their good graces, has said, wait a minute, you know, $50 might mean not going or going, so let us help. And that's exactly what they're doing. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. So any order, you can order a $20 life straw or whatever it might be, and you'll get a $50 coupon code, but you got to mention conference in there, and then they'll send you a coupon code for the registration for the conference. And the other announcement I have is this. I spoke at length to Dave Hodges. Folks, you remember Dave Hodges' article last week about Loretta Lynch and about the oversight, or about the, just about the issues. Oh, you can't talk against Islam. No. Well, I had a long conversation with Dave this past weekend. I shared some intelligence with him, intelligence I got firsthand, and he's going to break it on his website, thecommonsenseshow.com. He's going to break it on his website. So definitely tonight, tune into go to thecommonsenseshow.com for an update or first thing in the morning. I'm not going to get into what I told him. He can divulge all of that, but it is disconcerting. Folks, I'll just say this. Many people send us emails saying, you know, you talk about problems, you talk about big issues. You had a recent show on abortion. And you left a lot of people kind of in feeling a little bit hopeless. Not hopeless necessarily, 100% hopeless, but feeling like the salvation. They weren't good enough for salvation. Oh, we're going to fix that tonight. So I'm going to toss it over to Joe. Joe, you take it from here.
Yeah, we have a great show tonight. John Robertson's with us, and he's going to be bringing on two separate women to talk about their testimonies, as well as in the final hour, Reverend Flip Benham. He'll be joining us as well. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn it on over to John. I'm going to let him lay this out and bring on our first guest. John, are you with us?
Indeed, Joe, I am. How do I sound? Do you read me?
You sound great. Yeah, you sound great. Okay. We want to thank you for stepping up and doing this tonight. And I'm going to turn it over to you and let you take it away.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. And Doug and Joe, God bless you both. And to all the Hagman and Hagman family out there joining us this evening, thank you so much for choosing to spend your Monday evening with us. And, folks, I know there's a lot of controversy and details to be examined when we look at this time of year. But for my part, I just want to say to everyone listening, a very Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. We're 4 days away from celebrating the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And regardless of, you know, perhaps our Savior was born in September, as we've heard some brilliant guests speculate, or it could have even been more significant dates therein. But for many centuries now, we've celebrated the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, on December 25th. And that being said, just a very Merry Christmas to everyone listening. And appropriately, the show's title this evening is Unwrapping the Perfect Gift, Freedom Through Forgiveness. And that's exactly what we're going to do this evening. We're going to look at the exact things that Scripture implores us to do. We're going to look to the cross, we're going to look to God's holy word, and we're going to look to fellowship with our remnant brothers and sisters this evening, all of which we are instructed to do through God's holy word. That being said, I'm just going to offer up a quick prayer. Father God, we just come before you, Lord, really on our faces, Lord, spiritually, from a land that is succumbing to your judgment, to your righteous judgment, Lord. And as the remnant body of believers, we beseech you, Lord, to intercede on behalf of the righteous Lord, and to bring those who are stumbling and lost and blinded, and how many of us have been there so many times, Father God, to bring us back to the hem of the garment of the only one who can save, the one whose birth we celebrate here in just 4 days, Lord God, and that is your Son, the precious Lord Jesus Christ, by whose blood we are cleansed and by whose stripes we are healed. And we just, Father, you gave us this platform and you gave us this show this evening, and I just, in Jesus' name, Father God, I give the show right back to you, Lord. Amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Hagman family, let's all sit down at the Hagman kitchen table and get down to business. Tonight's show is a response to our show on the Hagman and Hagman Report from November 5th of this year, from Thursday, November 5th, 2015. And on that show, myself and our brother, Reverend Flip Benham, who will join us in Hour 3, as well as Greg Jackson, author of 40 Things to Teach Your Children Before You Die, and Doug and Joe were gracious enough to give us the mic that night. And what happened is, I won't speak for Flip or Greg, but for myself personally, I was angry. And I was full of indignance, looking at the Planned Parenthood videos that had surfaced in late July. And we came out swinging that night. And for that show, I make no apologies, but I do offer this, that on November 5th, what we attempted to do, and I believe we did in Jesus' name, we took a look at God's law. And God's law is the truth. And the truth can hurt. The truth can sting. And that is why the truth has become such a precious and rare commodity in society today. Consider this. If a friend or a loved one says, you know, I'm going to tell you the truth, or they say, well, to tell you the truth, ... you know there's a potential sting coming, because the truth is the beginning of that which will set us free. So November 5th was an examination of God's law and the truth of God's law and where we're at as a nation. But you see, folks, we received a huge response to that show. All of us did. Doug and Joe and Greg Jackson and Reverend Flip Benham and myself. And I want each and every one of you listening this evening to know this. We read your emails, and in some cases we had the pleasure and the privilege of speaking with you on the phone and hearing your stories or your sadness, discontent, and even anger. And we decided that right before Christmas we're gonna do this show this evening that's a little different. I'm going to introduce the show and hand it over to the first of our very special guests this evening. And I want you folks in the Hagman family to know that the purpose of this show is to admit and confess the truth of God's law, but then to realize that through the blood of Christ at the foot of the cross, there is hope. So that is the dynamic, folks, that we are going to operate in this evening, as we bring on these amazing and really brave women. The dynamic between the truth of God's law and the hope that is found in the blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here's what you can look forward to this evening. In Hour 1, we have special guest Shelley Klieg from St. Louis, Missouri. And Shelley and I have been working together for about the past week or so. And I have not actually heard her testimony, but she is going to come forward and share in her own words with all of us what she went through in this abortion disaster and sin, and then finding redemption through Christ. And then in Hour 2, or at the conclusion of Shelley's testimony, we're going to bring on our other special guest, Catherine Hearn, and Catherine is from Charlotte, North Carolina, and she is going to bless us as well with her story. And then Reverend Flip Benham, our brother Reverend Flip, we did the November 5th show together, and you can also hear Reverend Flip Benham on the Hagman and Hagman Report from November 23rd. He has agreed to join us and say some words about forgiveness, and then he's going to close out this show this evening with an awesome prayer of forgiveness and a Christmas celebratory prayer of forgiveness. Well, to kick us off tonight, I want to examine some scripture. I think it's always good to get started grounded in God's Word. And remember, I always remind all of you this, the Word of God is God. So there's incredible power in what we're about to do. Never should reading scripture ever become passé to Christians who truly believe. This is Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, and I quote, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. So I ask each of you listening tonight, as we look at Isaiah chapter 61, again, those are verses 1 through 3, Isaiah is explaining, he's speaking as Isaiah, but he's also explaining the 7 points of the Messiah's anointing in the beginning of chapter 61. So I ask you these questions. Everybody listening right now, this Christmas season, are you brokenhearted? Have you been stumbling through life? Do you feel captive? You know, have you been walking around this past year in sort of an emotional and spiritual prison? And if you have been, I just want to remind you that you're bound by the accuser who binds by accusing us in the throne room of our sin and using shame as a weapon against us. But I want to remind everybody tonight that there's hope. And that's why Shelley and Catherine have so graciously and so bravely and courageously agreed to join us, is to help through their testimonies guide us to that hope. So here we are today. It's December 21st. It's 4 days before we celebrate the birth of Christ. And I would encourage everybody tonight, if you've been bound, if you're captive, if you're living under a pile of ashes, it says right in Scripture does not lie, that our Heavenly Father, through the blood of Christ, will take those ashes and not only remove them and free you from that pile of ashes, but adorn you as his beloved with a headdress. So I want to take one more quick second, and I want to point out quickly that Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 and 2, is a very interesting point of Scripture. If we take a quick look at Luke chapter 4, verse 18, this Scripture just blows wide open, and this is what makes the Bible so cool. You see, in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus himself walks into the synagogue, and he begins to teach. But he doesn't begin to teach on just anything. He grabs a specific scroll, and he unrolls the scroll, and then he says the following, and I quote, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." But he stops right there, and he rolls up the scroll, and he hands it back. And the synagogue melted down. The priests and the quote-unquote religious ones went nuts because Jesus omitted the second part of Isaiah 61, chapter 1, verse 2. He omitted, he said yes to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, but he omitted, "and the day of vengeance of our God." And so my final point before we bring on our first guest, Shelley, is simply this. Not only do we have the promise right here in Isaiah 61 that he will take those ashes and adorn you in a headdress, that he will make you an oak of righteousness, but Jesus himself, 600 years later, walked into the synagogue and he stated the exact same words as the Messiah who had come in the flesh and was prepared to make a sacrifice so that we could have this conversation tonight, because it is only by his blood that anything that is said tonight works. So he proclaimed the year of the Lord's favor, and I would encourage everyone to look at this Christmas when you're with your family and friends and think, 2016, I am proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor, just like Jesus did in the synagogue. But he omitted, "and the day of vengeance of our God." Because you see, folks, that day has not come yet. Remember, he said the year of favor, but only the day of vengeance. Now, many of us believe that day of vengeance could happen in our lifetimes, but it is not today, as Greg Jackson pointed out earlier in our conversation. We have today. All hope is not lost. We have today. And that being said, we're blessed to have Shelley Plague with us. Again, she's from St. Louis, Missouri. And Doug and Joe, I just want to go ahead and bring Shelley into the conversation, and she's going to step front and center and just begin to share her story with us. And again, Shelley, I just want to say thank you so much for your courage and for being an obedient servant of the Lord and doing this tonight.
Thank you, John. I want to thank God for opening this door, giving me the opportunity to share tonight. And I want to thank Joe and Doug for having me, and to all the Hagman family, I want to say good evening. I'd like to start out with a prayer, if I can.
Absolutely.
Lord God, thank you for this time. And I pray, Father, for those you have listening tonight, that you prepare their hearts for this message, and that it will speak to those you have called to hear it. I thank you, Father, for calling me to share. May your holy name be glorified, Father, tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I guess I'll just jump right in and just want to start sharing a part of my life, a journey that started a long time ago. And life as a teenager for me was, I thought I was living for God. I was a good person, but really in my deeds and everything I did, I was not following God. I was not glorifying God at all with my actions. I was drinking and smoking marijuana and just really making a mess and making a lot of bad choices. And so at age 19, the next thing I knew, I was pregnant. And just a huge amount of fear and panic came on me that I had never known before. And I remember going to my friends, and they didn't know what to do. And so anyway, I decided to go to a pregnancy center to get a pregnancy test just to make sure that I was right and to see if I really was pregnant, just to verify that. And while I waited for the pregnancy test, they left me with a little booklet. And I remember just, I was in no state of wanting to sit and read anything, and I just kind of browsed through it. And I vividly remember the back of the brochure. There were pictures of clouds all over, and on those clouds, there were all of these baby body parts laying all over the clouds. And I remember thinking, oh, my gosh, and I was like, those are, those are big babies, I'm only like 4 to 5 weeks, and, it's just a blob of tissue right now. And I just kept looking at it and looking at it. And I remember the lady returned to the room, and she told me I was pregnant. And she had asked me if I was, what I was going to do. Was I going to go to my parents? And, of course, I said yes, I was, and that was about it. And I left, but it was a lie. I had no intentions on telling my parents. They raised me in the church, and I knew sex was, to be saved for marriage. And I was fearful I would get kicked out of my house, and then what would I do? And who would want me with a baby? I was so full of fear. I remember I had a friend who came forward and told me, I hadn't known her long, actually, and she had told me she had had a few abortions, and she knew where to go. So I prayed and asked God to show me if this was a baby. And I remember just never hearing anything, and never finding out if it was or not. And the one thing I want to interject here is, how would I know how to listen to God? I wasn't even living for Him. I thought I was just, I received Christ at 14. I fell away from the church. I wasn't even going to church at this time. So how would I know how to hear from God? But I just want to use Isaiah 59:2 right here. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you so that He does not hear. So, the only time I was going to church at that time, it was only at holiday times. I was the holiday pew sitter, and out of all the years I grew up in church, minus those 3 years I really wasn't in church, I never once ever heard about the topic of abortion and the sanctuary. I never heard anything ever preached on it, ever. And I just remember that I was just spinning out of control fast, and I made an appointment for the abortion, and a friend dropped me off. And I remember walking into the clinic. It was a short sidewalk, and I actually, when I suppressed all this for so many years, to a point that you almost don't even remember you had one, an abortion, but I recalled everything. God just has that way of bringing it all back to you. And I remember there was people lined up on the sidewalk there. And I remember them trying to reach out to me. I remember them trying to talk to me and say things. But Satan just kept me, what I know today that I didn't realize then, was Satan just kept me in that state of panic and fear. And it just was like a tornado that just kept spinning and spinning. And so I went inside, and it was very quiet. And with my mind in a fog, I signed some papers, and soon they called me back. They never called it a baby. They never did. They referred to it as a blob of tissue. I remember looking up at the ceiling as I laid on the table, and there's a picture of a bodybuilder in a Speedo swimsuit. And I can just remember thinking, you know, this is just so odd. I mean, isn't that what got me in trouble to begin with, you know? And I was scared. Nothing was going to take my mind off of what was happening. I was feeling a little bit of pain. There was a suction in a large clear container, and I remember this vacuum suction that was very loud. And, you know, there was just like blood and tissue were going into this container. I didn't know at the time that it was my baby being sucked into what I now know was the container. But I remember the blood that was going in there. And I have vivid memories of that day, leaving the clinic, staring out the window up into the sky. And I said, well, God, I know I did the right thing, because I don't have all those feelings they say women have. But yet I always wondered if I would regret those words. So years later, I was married and holding my infant son in the sanctuary. And I picked up a brochure called Life Before Birth. And as I was reading about life at conception, I gazed into my infant son's eyes and my 2-year-old twin daughter standing next to me. And I kind of opened it, and there was a little sack. They were holding this little clear sack, and it had a little baby in it. And I remember thinking, you know, all these years later, as I sometimes would recall it to my memory, I just wondered, could it really be life at conception? And so God was just already beginning to work on my heart. That night, I went home, and that night, put the kids to bed, and my husband went to bed, and I just couldn't take it. I had to know, was this life at conception? And so I remember going to the basement, and I grabbed that Bible, because now, as I was married, we were in a church, but this church, they had Bibles in the pews, but nobody ever opened them, and nobody ever, never brought a Bible walking into church. And so anyway, I remember grabbing my Bible and wanting to get back into that word and just to look at it. And so I remember sitting in that reclining chair in the basement, and I was just scrambling through the scriptures and reading all that I could. He already began to show me and put on my heart that this was life at conception. And I read that brochure, and I began to just, God just started revealing it to me, and I just wailed and cried out, my God, you know, what did I do? You know, I killed my baby. And I can remember it was like Satan taking off his mask, and he was just laughing at me because he had kept me in bondage for so long. I just think about it now, and I look back, I'm like, I'd have died in that sin. I'd have gone to hell, you know, And I can remember talking to God and asking, how could you forgive me? How can you forgive me? There's no way you could forgive me for having murdered my baby, you know? That's all I could say, crying and crying into the night. My heart was pierced, his face to depths I didn't know. I knew of his forgiveness. I grew up in the church, and he can forgive anyone. But me, like now, it was my turn, you know? It was like, I killed my baby. How could he forgive me? How? I couldn't forgive me. I realized it doesn't matter that I can't forgive myself. It's about God and what he did on the cross. And so God showed me through his word and his promises that he died for everyone. I realized if I said, well, I want to back up for just a minute here. I do want to interject this scripture, Proverbs 28, 13 through 14. What I was searching with scriptures, and it says this, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. And I realize if I'm saying that he couldn't forgive me, then I'm saying that he died in vain. And he didn't. And he didn't. I knew that. And it was then that I cried out and confessed my sin. And I was finally set free from my sin. Satan kept me in. And oh, the weight that just lifted was so amazing. I'll always shed a tear, you know, for what I did. You're always going to shed a tear for what you did. How can you not? But now I knew that I was forgiven. And it's not about me forgiving me. And it never will be because I can't do it. The only freedom is through Jesus Christ, and he set me free. And I praise God today for working in my heart and just for showing me and guiding me. And I'd like to just read Isaiah 61. I know you touched on it already, but for me it was so important. Isaiah 61:3, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And so I decided to name my baby, and I really felt that my baby was a girl. And so I named her Hope Elizabeth, and I pray and hope that someday I will meet her in heaven. I had another scripture I wanted to also read a couple of them. And look for it here. Psalms 147:3, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I believe that after all that time, the Lord just goes in, just heals you. He just heals you. And Satan, he just wants to keep us in that state of sin. He wanted me to believe that my parents would kick me out, but they wouldn't have. I know that my father would have helped me. He wanted me to believe that it was a blob of tissue, and it wasn't. He thought I had to stay pro. He thought that I. He made me think that I had to stay pro-choice because if I had an abortion, then it's just all this stuff he tells you, it just builds and builds. They're just lies and lies built upon lies. And he just wants to hold you there because if you say you're pro-life at some point, you know, it's like you're going to be this huge hypocrite. And so anyway, Satan just wanted most of all for me to believe I couldn't be forgiven. And that's what he wanted. But I don't know. If anybody out there listening, if this speaks to you, if you've had an abortion, you know, I pray today you will go to the Lord in his arms, and because he's waiting for you. He's always been waiting for you, and his arms are held out to you. And I just pray that today could be the opportunity for you to unwrap that perfect gift of forgiveness, because he loves you, and he is waiting for you, and confess that sin. and don't be held in any bondage anymore. That just because you had an abortion, that you can't be forgiven, because He wants to keep you there, and God wants to set you free.
Amen.
Amen.
Well,
thank you, Shelley. Can you hang with us for a couple of minutes? Maybe we could have a quick little discussion, Joe. Sure.
Yes, and you know, what we're talking about here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is forgiveness. I mean, can you imagine? Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, we're all sinners, are we not? But can you imagine the hopelessness, the despair? If we leave this topic without sharing the fact that you can be forgiven, people make mistakes. We're all sinners, just one degree or another. You know, so the good news here is there is forgiveness. Can you imagine walking around with a feeling of hopelessness and despair, like she was talking about?
Shelley, a question here. How long was it from your abortion to the time that you realized that you had, to the time you realized that what you did was not what God had purposed for you? Or what
right.
The realization of what you'd done? How long was that?
Probably about 4 or 5 years, or I'd say like 4 years, because I was 19 when it happened, and shortly thereafter, I met a man in fell in love, and we got married, and we started a family a year after we were married. So after I had my three children. We were leaving church, like I said, one day in the sanctuary, and just saw that brochure sitting there, and I just picked it out, you know.
Okay.
Oh, that's amazing. You've got to look at your three children and just consider the blessing that they are to you, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. I've thanked God for them many, many times, and I still do. I thank God for allowing me to have a gift of children, and they are certainly a blessing in my life, and following the Lord too. So, amen.
if I can ask, I mean, boy, it seems like I don't know what you would call it, the sanitary nature of just the procedure. It just seems so sanitary. So. Medicinal, so matter of fact, that allows one to have an abortion without really much, heaviness, until afterwards, huh?
Yeah, because I say with all my heart, you have to understand, and I think about this, and it breaks my heart because of the lies that are perpetrated by Satan through all of this. You think about having a young daughter, and she finds herself in this trouble, and she can't come to you because she's fearful of it, of coming and admitting what she did. She wants to hide this sin. She wants to get rid of it. She's in a panic. She's got to hurry. And so she finds out that she's old enough to have this abortion. Which actually, in many cases, that's such a lie, because there's so many girls that are not of age that do find ways to have abortions. It happens all the time. And so, and you believe that the medical profession is still full of very intelligent, smart, professional people. They're doctors, they're nurses. And so we're taught to respect and believe these people. You just don't not believe in them. And so you go, and they tell you what's going to happen and all of this. And you just kind of go in and sign the papers, and, you know, you're going through your emotions, and they just take you back and to this building that, you know, and let's in mind, you know, with look clean, but there are many that are very unsanitary and very run down and shouldn't even be open. And in so many cases, we're young, so we're very ignorant to the sanitary process that should go on. And I believe in a lot of cases, we can know now that that is not always the case.
Okay. Yeah, one more question. I'll turn it over to Joe. And again, feel free not to answer anything. I'm not, certainly not grilling you or anything like that. This is just merely a conversation and, a family conversation, because I just wonder how many families have conversations like this. My question to you is, was your procedure done at a Planned Parenthood facility, or was it done at another clinic? Not that it really matters. I'm just curious, I suppose.
Yeah, no, mine was not at a Planned Parenthood. Actually, it was an independent facility that I had went to.
All right.
Shelley, if I can, I just have a few questions. You said you were 19 at the time?
Yes.
Did the man who got you pregnant, did he know that you were pregnant? Did you guys talk about this?
He did not at the time because, like I said, I was making a lot of wrong choices, and I was actually a situation that should have never occurred, and we were not dating, and so that's all it took, and I was pregnant. So there was no relationship involved, and I know my story is just, you know, it's one of many, but I will tell you, it's a typical teenage story for the age group that I was, especially in the teen years. But certainly, there are people that are, you know, girls who are in relationships, and there are married women who even have abortions, and so there are so many stories that are just really hard, you know, but this is my story, and so I was not in a relationship, and so I didn't have all of the other part of it to deal with. However, after I had the abortion, I did want to call him and let him know what happened. I later found out that a lot of the girls he dated, evidently he had gotten quite a few girls pregnant. And I did not know of this before. And it didn't matter because I made wrong decisions too. But I wanted him to know that happened. So that was the last time I really ever heard from him.
That's interesting. Shelley, we got an announcement here. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Hear the Watchman conference coming up in Dallas on the 18th through 20th of March of 2016.
I did hear about that.
Well, I'm just getting word here that the people who are putting on the conference are giving you two tickets to the conference if you'd like to attend.
Oh, awesome. Thank you very much.
And
yes,
that's
that
Mike
great.
And Jeannie, who are
Thank
organizing.
Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Thank you, very much.
Thank you, Mike and Jeannie.
Yes, Joe, may I jump
Mike
in for a quick moment?
Sure, Joe.
Well, first of all, Mike and Jeannie, thank you so much. Well, Shelley, picking up where Joe was asking a moment ago, and again, like Doug said, please don't feel any compulsion to answer anything you're not comfortable with, but I was wondering if we could examine for a moment I heard you say two things that I was curious about. The first is the fear. You touched upon the fear of perhaps being unwanted with having either being a single mom back then with a child, especially at such a young age, or with being post-abortive, a would-be mom, and having a potential partner, a husband, a serious relationship, or even other family members find out about it. And I would imagine that many women who have found themselves in a similar position, probably that fear, I would imagine, was just right up on the surface, probably really at the forefront. Can you Can you share anything with us about that, Shelley?
And you're right, and it is. It's just it's so overwhelming, and I just didn't know what to do with it. I mean, it was just like a state of panic 24/7, and it was just confusion, and it was just something you never felt before. And I remember I definitely wasn't going to go to my parents, and I didn't want to go to my sister, who I was close to, but I was in fear that she would tell them. And I had had a couple of girls who were very close to me. You know, I obviously can't, I would never come out with who they are. Their mother took one of them to have an abortion. This was before it ever happened to me, by a couple of years earlier. And later I went on to find out that her sister in college had an abortion. That young lady that I knew of, she got married to that guy. And they went on and, had some children. But I think what I'm trying to say with it is it's so secretive, you know. Although that couple's not together anymore, these stories stay hidden in women. It's like there are so many men who are married to their wives who don't even know they had an abortion, and so many of them are the men that fathered those children. It's such a secret to hold on to, and so that's, I think, also what makes it hard for a woman to go through the whole healing and forgiveness process, because they have to find that time to reflect. They have to, if they act different or out of ordinary, you know, obviously your husband's going to probably pick up on that and wonder what's wrong. So it's just, it's really hard. So, you know, can you imagine harboring that, and it's such a secret, and you're, if you do go to church, or you find yourself when you're married finally going to church and you're sitting there now for me, I never heard any sermon in church on abortion. But when it's brought up, you know, even if it was brought up in a church and they were doing an altar call, that girl's probably not going to go up there because she's so afraid of losing it at the altar, you know, and then her husband would be like, what in the world could be so hard for you right now, you know, and she might, you know, he might want to talk about it. So there's a lot. And so that's why it's nice to have, ministry, to be able to minister your testimony in the open air or in places so that you can try to reach women who, may not ever have that opportunity. Excuse me, to talk about it. And so that we can reach out and touch those people. So I hope that kind of helps answer that question. Yeah, you're full of fear, and you don't want to talk about it to anybody. You're very secretive to who you'll share with.
If I can jump in here, I've got two questions. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with a woman who, at the tender age of 19, had an abortion, and then later understood the implications, and of course sought and of course received forgiveness through the blood of our Savior. So, and she's brave enough to come on and talk about this, and saying, "Look, this is what happened to me." Ma'am, I'm going to ask you this. I know for a fact right now there's at least one young girl out there feeling alone, who's pregnant, who is going to school, backed into a corner, feels that way, can't talk to her parents. Perhaps her parents are divorced, perhaps, regardless. Wrestling with getting an abortion right now, Christmas time, because she feels that, number one, she's got no other alternative, and number two, it's acceptable. It's suddenly acceptable. Can you speak to her What would you say to her if she was sitting across the table from you right now? What would you say to her?
Oh, I would ask her if we could go have a cup of coffee and talk some more privately, and I would share what I had been through and the reasons why I sought abortion. I loved children. I grew up babysitting babies, and I just loved them, and I still love them. And, you know, one day you will figure out that there is a missing child in your family photo. You got all your kids and your husband, and now there's no reason to be afraid to have a child. And yet you remember the haunting days that you made decisions based on all about you. You know, that's what it was. You know, I can say all these things, but really it comes down to me. You know, so what if somebody wouldn't have wanted me with a baby? So, you know, you can get through all those problems, and for all that fear is made up from Satan. And if you are not married and you're single and you're going through this, you probably, you obviously had sex outside of marriage. You have sin, and that sin is keeping you and God separated. And so you're not in one with Him. And in order to talk to Him, to go to Him, you've got to confess that sin. You've got to confess all of that sin, and then get forgiveness, and then talk to the Lord about it, and ask Him, how can I get help? God is going to put people in your path. I mean, honestly, the last hedge of protection is at the abortion clinic. When the Lord called me, and that's another testimony of itself, when He called me to share my story, it was the last thing I wanted to do, but I surrendered to pick up my cross and follow it, and it led me to abortion clinics in the street. And it is the last touch of protection. I know people think that the pregnancy centers are the first, or that hedge, last hedge, but they're not. And let me tell you, when I went to the streets and I saw all these men and women standing out there, and everybody thinks they're so crazy. But I want to come away with you today from the bottom of my heart that is where I found followers of Jesus Christ. I went home and I was like, my God, I found the jewels in the treasure box, you know? These men and women, some of them have never had abortions, and some of them have never been a part of an abortion. And many have had them. And that's why they're there, to share that there is hope in Jesus Christ. And they are there to offer help to women. What can we do for you? And if I had to talk to her, I would say, what can I do to help you? There is adoption. I can help you get your medical expenses paid. You know, there's so many things that we can offer these girls. And so if I had a chance to talk to a girl, I would let her know that if it's finances, if it's any of that, we can get it. If it is about going to your parents, I will go with you. I will share what you share. I would share my story with the parents, and if I needed to, if the Lord, you know, impressed upon me that I needed to share and where I'm at now with it, I would do anything for her. And I know many young couples who want to adopt babies who do not have them.
Thank you. We're at the top of the hour. You just actually answered both of my questions. Go ahead.
We want to thank you, Shelley, for your time tonight. You're sharing your story, and
it's a very intimate thing.
Yeah, it is very personal. You're welcome to stay on. You're welcome to come back.
John, we're going to toss it to you for that.
Shelly, are you, can you hang with us for maybe another 5-10 minutes on the other side of the break just so we can bring a nice conclusion to this and a proper send-off, I have one more question that may really affect some of those young ladies that could be in this predicament. Do you have another maybe 15 with us?
Yes, I do. Absolutely.
All right, stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.